You're listening to the Tip-In Maple Leaf Podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dale.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Tip-In Maple Leafs Podcast, episode number 263. I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
We're coming to you today to talk about the Leafs, who came off a 3-2 win on Friday against the Rangers, and then a little afternoon delight in Pittsburgh, and what a delightful game that was. A crazy shit show, but they pull out a 6-5 OT win.
Sloppy. What do you expect from an afternoon delight, right? Sloppy. Just sloppy, yeah. Sloppy. Joseph Woll, not his best game. Whatever, but yeah, man, whatever. Like, so here we are now, like you said, 3-2 win against the Rangers in New York, and then a sloppy 6-5 overtime win against the Pittsburgh Penguins this afternoon. Leafs have won 5 straight games, have not lost since coming out of the Four Nations break, have not played anywhere near their best hockey. Keep winning hockey games, man.
Yeah.
Still first place in the division. Florida doesn't play today. But more on the Cougars later, because I got a bunch of things I want to get off my chest there. But yeah, man. So what'd you think? Overall, can't really complain, right? 5 straight wins, haven't lost since Four Nations. They're not playing their best, but they're still picking up, finding ways here. What are your thoughts of the weekend?
That's exactly what it is. There's something about it. Like, they just don't look that sharp or whatever, but they're pulling off these wins, so I'm not going to complain.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the goaltending that's holding them in. That game like today, it's just a shit show that you pull out a win.
Yeah.
Can't complain. It's kind of strange. Like, they'll go on losing streaks where they're playing really well, and we have so much to complain about. But when they're winning, we brush that under the rug, baby. We don't talk about that.
No, you got to. So I just wanted to say, first of all, so we don't have to spend a ton of time here, but I saw your story feed today, your son. Did they win, or do you want to – because – did they win?
They tied.
How can you tie in a tournament?
It's not a tournament. It was the end of the. It was the last game of the year.
Oh, so how can you tie then? Either then,
you just tie.
That is not right, man.
I know. I thought they were gonna pull out a little overtime or shootout or something.
Okay, you don't want to play OT. At least pick a couple kids to go and put like for a shootout.
That's
like
what I thought. And they had time to do it too. Cause you know, that like everybody that has kids in hockey, you know, the arenas are jam packed. Like there's always another team coming on the ice, but there was still like 15 minutes. They had to flood, but they still had about 15 minutes. They probably could have pulled off a shootout, but they got them off the ice, flooded the ice for the next game.
Like kids, like who wants to go home with a tie? Like I
didn't want to go home, and I wasn't even playing.
Feel good with a tie? Like, I'd rather lose. Like, kids learn a lot from losing, too, in sports. Yeah. Not just winning. You don't learn dick from a tie. Nothing.
No. So, like, but it's just the way, like, it's the way hockey is. If it was a different sport where you had the whole, like, if it was baseball in the summer, you got the whole field to yourself for the whole day, you just keep playing. But with hockey, it's all about ice time.
Anyway, I thought his team won, but the only reason I brought that up was because I saw your picture and he's standing beside a mini Stanley Cup. And I'm like, where do I get my hands on that fucking thing? Because it looked incredible.
Yeah, it did look really good. They bring that out so they don't keep it or anything. They bring it out for every league. Every age group gets that cup.
It looked really cool.
Yeah, like, and it's really cool for the kids. So
did you go feel the weight of it or no?
No, I didn't touch it. What am I going to go out? They're 8 years old. Am I going to go out and just knock all the 8 years old?
Yeah, but that didn't look like it.
Like, hey, buddy, give me that cup.
No, I saw later, like, it was on like a table and like your son was dressed and he was like standing beside it. That's where I would have went up and been like, okay, let's feel the weight of this thing here.
it's light. It's just a.
But it looked like a 3-foot trophy. No, not 3 feet.
No, it's like 3 feet. It's two and a half, 3 feet.
It looked pretty big. It looked like a really cool like replica. Yeah. I would love to get like, I might've been like, start the car, honey, like bring it to the door here. Cause I'm swiping this thing.
Because they tied, they brought the cup out and then each team took a picture with the cup.
Yeah.
And then they did their medals and they gave away the awards, MVP, most improved, all that stuff.
Yep.
Cool. And that was it. Cool.
All right.
And I'll give him a shout out. He had a sweet, sweet assist in the game. Came in on a 2-on-1, fed a nice little saucer pass right onto the kid's stick, and he swiped it home. That put them up 3-2. Couldn't hold on. Couldn't hold on, baby.
What do you do? Okay, anyway, so just, yeah, I saw the cup trophy. I'm like, that looks so fucking cool. Like, I just had to mention that. But anyway, you know what else was super cool this afternoon? Holy hell, man. Matthew Nyes.
Woo!
The buzzer beater at the end of the second period, like the bench is yelling, shoot it. I'm like, there's no, he's going to run out of time. There's no way he's going to have time to bury this. Top shelf, no problem. 0.1 second on the clock. Like, just crossed the line. Didn't even hit the net. Didn't even hit the back of the mesh.
No, but it crossed the line.
How cool was fucking, that was like a, it was kind of a, it wasn't a boring game. It was back and forth.
It wasn't boring at all.
No, it was a sloppy game, but that was the moment that got me like, oh, hello. That's something you don't see every day. Yeah,
that was crazy. I mean, anything less, like if he had a shot it just a little slower, or if he had a took just anything less, no goal. Like, he did it perfect.
0.1, point, what did they call that? 0.1 of a second or whatever it is?
0.1.
So anyway, super.
What cool. A terrible play by Pittsburgh. Like, just a god awful pass. Like, you have 5.7 seconds left.
Dead giveaway.
You don't throw it. You get it deep. Like, you just get out of the period, and he threw it right to Nyes, who just left. Yeah, and they held on to that lead for a solid 10 seconds.
10 seconds into the third period. Matthews cannot tie up his man going to the net. Bing, bang, boom. It's in. But more on him in a second. Nylander, he gets the OT winner, and he moves into 10th. All types of guys breaking records this afternoon for the Leafs. Nylander gets the OT winner, moves him into 10th all-time in goals for the Leafs. So he's moving on up. I think that was his 35th goal of the season, if I'm not mistaken. Mitch Marner, with an assist today, moves into 5th all-time in points. 5th all-time in points. If he re-ups, clearly we know where that's going to end up. It'll be one or two, and it'll probably be one, because he's just a fucking, like, all the kid does is put up, not a kid anymore. All the guy does is put up points. So 5th all-time for Mitch in points. All-time, Leafs. Auston Matthews finally pops one in here, Chad. Little five-hole action. Little afternoon delight five-hole action. Come on. You could see that one coming from a mile away. But he finally gets one to beat a goaltender, moves him past Sittler into 2nd all-time in goals, only behind Matt Sundin. I believe he's 31 behind Matt's, which Auston will pass next season. Your thoughts on all that? Nylander getting the OT winner, Marner getting the assist, Auston getting off the schneid, and just all of them moving up in goals and points and overall, like,
yeah, it's, I mean, it's great. It's great that you're moving up and you're breaking Toronto Maple Leaf records. You've been here a long time. They are incredibly talented players. As for today, I thought Nylander looked like shit the whole game until he scored in overtime.
Yep.
Marner didn't have a great, none of them really had a great game. And Matthews, yeah, he got one by a goalie, man. But there's something wrong with this dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not letting him off the.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But yeah, it's like, great. Break the records. That's great. You know what record I want to break? Is that 57-year drought of no Stanley Cup. That's the record I'd really like to break.
Not letting him off the hook. That's the word I was looking for. But
don't let him off the hook.
No, but I mean, it's just an incredible milestone. Like, look, I'm with you with everything you just said there, but at the end of the day, are we looking at, whatever order you want to put it, Matthews, Nylander, Marner, whatever, are we looking at the three best players that have ever worn the jersey? Like, points-wise, will it end up that way?
Probably. And regular season-wise, yeah. Yeah, I mean, incredibly, incredibly talented players. Like, last year, Matthews got 69 goals. I've never seen that in my life by any Leaf player. That was unreal.
No.
Mitch Marner, I mean, we had Dougie. We had players that would put up 100-point seasons, like tons of assists, great playmakers. But the fact that we've had Marner since he was drafted, if he stays here his whole career, he'll smash that record.
Yeah, well, same absolutely with all three of them, right? Like, I mean.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and even Riley, you could throw in there too. Like, I mean, I'm not sure if he probably gets to Caberle. Well, depending on, I shouldn't say that, because there could be an offseason trade. Like, we don't really know for sure what the future holds for Morgan Riley. But if he does stay.
Hypothetically, if they're all Leafs.
If Riley does stay, I could see him catching Caberle. Salming, I'm not convinced of that. But still, if Riley ends up, well, he's third now, all-time points for D. Even if he gets to second, that's still incredible for a 100-year-plus-old franchise like the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, but anyway, yeah, I just, you know, look, it's not, there's not, we're going to get into some trade talk here, obviously. But, well, we did a week away, right? 5 days away, Trade Center. So, going to get into it, but I just wanted to bring up those three because they all, you know, milestone afternoons for all three of them, and good on you, boys. But like you said, Jad, like, hey, getting closer to the playoffs, and yeah, it's all good. Like, all-time Leafs stats, that's great, but you know, is it all going to be like meaningless if we don't end up getting a championship out of this all? Not, yeah. It won't be meaningless, but it won't have as nice a feel or a look to it as like, hey, look at these three guys who like best Leafs statistically wise that have ever done it. Couldn't win the big one.
Yeah. I mean, years down the road, you'll look, if they don't win, you'll look back at those records. We'll talk about how great of players they were, but they'll always kind of be like a cloud over top. It's kind of like they had some great players in the 80s, you know, like Gary Lehman scored 50 goals and stuff.
Oh, sure.
Nobody gave a shit. They were so bad and they didn't win anything. No one ever really talks about that era. It won't be like that, but it won't be looked upon like the eras that followed where they won a few rounds.
The 80s Leafs never had like the best players, like a handful of the best players in the league. We do have that now.
Yeah.
So it's different. But I know what you're saying.
I'm just saying, like, if you don't win the cup, not if you don't win the cup, if you get bounced again in the first round, like if these guys end their Leafs career with just one playoff win against Tampa Bay, it doesn't, they can break all the records they want, but we're always going to talk about them as the group that couldn't get it done.
100%. Okay. Anything else on that? Anything else on the games, or anything else on them? Or we'll get into some trade talk here because I got a few things to wrap up.
All right. Let's hear what you got.
Okay. Maybe before we do that, 5 days away from Trade Center, a lot of stuff that we're going to be going over here. This might be our last podcast not before the Trade Center, but maybe Thursday. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. But anyway, guys, we here at the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast have partnered up with the Hockey Podcast Network and DraftKings. Chad's going to tell you all about it.
Yeah, so it may not feel like it outside right now because it's minus, what is it, Dale? Minus 30?
Yeah, not the best out there today weather-wise.
It is cold as a witch's titty out there, but spring is right around the corner. And you know how I could tell? Because I was flipping through the tube and I saw golf on TV. The golfers are hitting the links, and then you know what? You can bet on it at DraftKings Sportsbook. From Thursday's opening round right until the closing round on Sunday, put your money where your mouth is, get in there, pick a props bet, pick a player, whatever you want. It's that easy. You bet $5 and you can get up to $150 in bonus bets. All you got to do is use promo code THPN. That's promo code THPN when you go to DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app right now. Bet on the golf, bet on the hockey, bet on the basketball, anything that you want. With just $5, you can get up to $150 in bonus bets instantly. All right? That's only at DraftKings with promo code THPN. The crown is yours, baby. The crown is yours.
There you go.
I was actually watching some of the golf. It's so... It makes me so... Not sad, but like I just see the beautiful green and out there teeing it up. And it's like, it's so close because we're in March and I'm like,
I know,
feel it. It's
calendar
so close.
Well, dude, the Masters is in like 5 weeks.
Yeah.
So
it's just last year there was no snow on the ground. So we were hitting the links really early and this year it's far away.
Yeah. We're still hitting the slopes now, but I can't wait to not do that and start hitting the links. But
That's right.
Anyway. All right. So yeah, head on over to DraftKings. There you go. Like Chad explained it all, start betting on some games, golf, whatever you want to do. Preseason baseball right around the corner as well. I have absolutely no faith in the Toronto Blue Jays this year whatsoever. Cannot believe Shapiro and Atkins still are.
You don't have faith in Ross Atkins? One of the greatest general managers of our generation?
You want to talk about a franchise? We were just talking about the Leafs winning one playoff series with this group, the Jays. Not one playoff game, okay? So, like, but Atkins and Shapiro, no.
Even when they had an 8-1 lead. in one of those games. They didn't pull it off.
Nope, could not do it. So it looks like Vladdy wants out. It looks like Bo is going to leave. Like, it's not – I'm not letting these guys run a rebuild. There's no fucking way. Like, they had their shot. They should have never gotten rid of Anthopoulos. Anyway, I digress with the Blue Jays. I think it's going to be brutal this year. But anyway, so we get an interesting trade yesterday, Saturday. Seth Jones, he's cooking his way down south to the Cougars. The Cougars are getting in on a little early action, by nobody's surprise. Actually, it did catch me off by surprise a little bit. But let me just bring this puppy up here. Because, okay, Matthew Tkachuk goes on LTIR. Strong possibility he's going to be out for the rest of the regular season and will miraculously make his way back for game one of the playoffs. Did you hear that information?
I did. I saw he was put on LTIR.
Okay. But did you see the information about, like, potentially out until the playoffs?
Yep.
Okay. So Seth Jones goes to the Florida Panthers with a 2026 fourth round pick. Chicago receives back goaltender Spencer Knight and a conditional 2026 first round pick. What? Was there money retained there? Do you know or no?
I think there was.
Like, Chicago would have had to retain?
Yeah, I'll look it up.
Because they already retained money in the rant.
They're retaining 26% of Jones's salary.
Okay.
Which works out to about $2.5 million annually.
Okay, okay. So I want to get your thoughts on this, but first off, I want to get your thoughts on this. Why couldn't the Toronto Maple Leafs, so now the team that we are going to have to go through potentially to win the Eastern Conference, just got... Ekblad, Seth Jones, Forsling, their defense looks pretty fucking good. Like, that's Seth Jones is a Chicago sucks, not a good team. You put Jones on a good team, he's a banger, man. Like, he can still play. I would have liked Seth Jones. Like, you can't give up. What's the dude on the Marlies? The big guy, Hildeby. Hildeby wouldn't get the Hildeby in a conditional first. You couldn't get this trade done. Like, what's Spencer Knight prospect? He's not a number one goaltender.
Yeah, you don't know. But yeah, no.
Maybe he's not
projected to be.
Maybe on Chicago he is. Him and Mrazek, whatever.
Yeah.
But.
Like, well, there was no beating around the bush. That's what she said, is that Jones wanted out of Chicago.
Of course.
Like, he was just miserable there. So,
Florida,
I mean.
Though, like, it had to be fucking Florida?
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, whether it was Hildeby or Spencer Knight, I mean, something was gonna get that guy out of Chicago because he just didn't want to play there anymore.
Like,
so the Leafs could have, it didn't have to be Hildeby. You probably could have found something in your organization that Chicago would have taken.
Like, I think so, for sure. And I don't know. I don't know what Jones has left on his, he's got term left. I know that.
Yeah, he does. But they're eating 26% of it.
Yeah, but I think he still makes like eight, or he might make 8.5, something like that. So you'd still be paying him a good chunk of money, but he's a good defenseman. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think, like, maybe Tree Living was in on him, but it just was like, I don't see how you couldn't offer Hildeby and a conditional first round pick in 2026 and get that same trade done. I just don't.
When it comes down to it, he definitely Tree Living's, he's got to be in on everything. They need a defenseman. They need a third line center. He's got to be looking at all that. I would say that it probably has to do with both the contract and the money fitting it in, as well as Chicago may just didn't like what Toronto had to offer. Like, maybe they wanted Spencer Knight. The first round pick, because of the conditions on it, it's not a real big difference whether it's Toronto's first round pick or Florida's first round pick.
No, of course
not. Huge difference. So
absolutely not.
Maybe they had their eye on Spencer Knight. Maybe just the Panthers could fit that in for the next few years under their salary cap. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting. Like, with
for Tkachuk this year, on, yeah.
Like, well, Tkachuk going on LTIR. So
we just talked about it last podcast about Matthews. Obviously, something's bothering this guy, just sitting it out to the playoffs come. And Florida's doing that right now.
Like, I'm going to a little bit more on that here. But so anyway, just when I saw that trade, I'm just like, how could Tree not pull that off? Like,
But you could say that about a lot of general managers.
For sure. But anyway, whatever, it's over. He's in Florida. So great. Now they've got another bruiser back there that our little soft guys got to try to get past here in the spring. So we'll see how that goes. But our soft forwards anyway in the playoffs. Timmins and Myers, okay? You can't, like, I know Tanev is out. We still don't know the extent of that day to day. Yeah, okay, we'll see. But
keep dragging like, out, though.
Timmins and Myers, like, it's just you can't do it. Like, you can't win with that. You cannot do it. I think that the Leafs need to make, and that's why, like, I see the trade. Like, I heard the buzzing about Jones, and then I see that trade, and I'm like, we missed out on a guy. Like there's a guy that we just missed out on. Maybe the best defenseman available, if not one of them. He probably was the best defenseman available. Anyway, can't win with Timmins and Myers. Berube talking about Shen. I've kind of changed my opinion on Braden Shen, but did you hear Berube basically like just blowing smoke after Shen played his 1,000th game the other night in St. Louis?
Yeah.
Like, he loves this guy, right?
Yeah, obviously. I think he loves all the players that he won the cup with in St. Louis.
He seemed to really talk highly about Shen. Like, it was close to tampering. He's basically like, I'll do whatever it takes to get him in there.
I've heard, Braden Shen, everyone's talking about it because, of course, the Leafs are linked to him, so it's all over the place. The people that you hear interviewed that have played with him or coached him, no one has anything bad to say.
No, no.
They're like, this guy would run through a wall for his team. He'll do whatever it takes. My only problem is, again, same as Seth Jones, he's got term left. He's got money on his contract, and he's getting older. That's the only thing about Braden Shen. But for this playoff run, yeah.
Okay, let me throw a couple of things about Braden Shen at you. Would I bring him in? Yes, I would in 2 seconds. But you're right. He's got 3 years left at six, whatever. So if St. Louis eats some of that, then you could get it down. But like, that's still a lot of money and a lot of years. He's not getting any younger. And the price tag, I think, is going to be, and
it sounds enormous.
And before I go there, actually, the St. Louis Blues are 1 point out of a wild card spot. They play later today. So yeah.
Vancouver's fallen.
By the end of tonight, the Blues could be in a wild card spot. So are you trading your captain if you're in a wild card? Like, some teams would. Some teams would look at, oh, we're only in a wild card. We're not serious about winning, so we will. But if you're St. Louis, are you not like, before the end of tonight, they could be in a wild card spot. Binnington probably feeling pretty good after the Four Nations. Like,
that's true.
They could go on a little bit of a run. It could happen. Stranger things have happened. So I'm not even convinced that they're going to trade Braden Shen at this point, Chad. And if they do, I think the price tag, again, I would do it, but I think the price tag might be a little too steep. You might want to hang on to some of the top prospects and make some other secondary moves instead. What do you think? I've kind of changed my mind on it.
Yeah, I'm with you about St. Louis not wanting to really part ways. My thought on it is, if you look at the standings, so Colorado's basically like the first wild card spot is kind of distant from the second one. And then you have the Canucks, the Flames, the Blues, and Utah all kind of chasing it down. And if I'm the Blues and I'm looking at that pack.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not really afraid of anybody in that pack.
No.
Also, the Blues, when they won
Vancouver.
The cup,
not Vancouver.
No, Vancouver's slipping. They're in the second wild card spot right now, but they're falling fast. When the Blues won the cup in 2018, they were dead last, and then they just went on a miraculous run, snuck into the playoffs, went all the way to the cup, and won it.
Yep.
So you telling me like if that was the Leafs that did that, would we not be talking about they could do it again?
Of course.
If they just get in, they can do it again.
Of course. They're missing some of the pieces, but...
But that mentality, right? Oh, my God. Like, Binnington's getting hot again, just like he was in 2018.
Well, without Binnington, it doesn't happen in the first place. Like, no, I know...
Like you say, his confidence is sky high coming off.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
So...
I don't think they're going to trade Braden Shen. If I'm them and looking at this, I'm like, we can get in.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that's just a blessing in disguise. Like maybe the Leafs end up, it doesn't work out and we end up not having to give up like to our top prospects like Cowan and Minton and Grubankin or whoever, right? So let me throw a couple secondary moves at you here. So in order to make the money work here, I'm not sure. Do you have to put like Matthews on LTIR or just some moves like guys going back, like if it's Yarncroc or if it's Camp or whoever, Robertson, like, I don't know, just sending guys back. But here's some secondary moves, two that I would like to see. Four pieces I'm talking about. I think this team isn't just one or two pieces away. I think they need like three or four guys. Here's the trades I'm going to propose to you. Two guys that were here when they beat Tampa Bay, Ryan O'Reilly, Luke Shen. One-stop shopping, natural predators. O'Reilly, 4.5 a year left, two more years left. Shen, 2.75 left for one more year, okay? And then I'm going to throw another one out there, and then you take it for what you think on this. Another one-stop shopping in Philadelphia, Scott Laughton, $3 million left for one more year. Rasmus Ristolainen, $5 million left for two more years. Luke Shen, Ristolainen, both good right-handed defensemen. Laughton, O'Reilly, like Lawton's a hell of a player. He's maybe not as good as Braden Shen, but he's not too far off. I was looking at their points today.
And, probably be a lot cheaper.
Well, the money there, like, look at what they're making. Like, look at what the, like, what the, if they,
well,
if
and
they
I put, just mean, like, what you'd have to give up.
Oh, God, are you kidding me? Like, an O'Reilly Shen package, you could do it for picks and maybe a prospect. Same thing for Laughton and Ristolainen. Same thing, like a way lesser than this whole Braden Shen thing. So there's four names I'm throwing out at you. Two guys can play center. Two guys are right-handed D. What do you think? What do you think there? Instead of doing the St. Louis thing.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay with doing anything.
Like, as do you long like as one, you upgrade. Like, do you like one of those over the other, or would you like both? Because I'd kind of like to see both of those things happen.
Well, that's getting pretty crazy.
You're swinging hard. You're
you have to fit all that money in, and then they all have term left on their deals.
Yeah.
To me, like, if you were to do that with Nashville, because I like Ryan O'Reilly more,
than Scott Laughton.
Yeah, I think in the older playoffs, Ryan. He's older, but I like Ryan O'Reilly in the playoffs.
Okay.
I just think come playoff time, we got one win against Tampa.
Yeah, I know.
Who's on the team?
I know. O'Reilly. And he wasn't even playing healthy, really, banged up. So
no. Question for you though: would you make one of those deals, even a Braden Shen, Ryan O'Reilly, a Laughton, and let Tavares walk? And that would be your new veteran third line center for next year.
No, because I wouldn't.
Tavares is going to make the same as those guys.
Okay.
Like, he's going to make around $6 million a year, $7 million a year.
Okay. I heard that. I heard about a potential contract extension, 7 million times three or something like that for JT. I'm not interested in that. I think that's like, it's gotta be a five. It's got to like, we just paid you $11 million for fucking 7 years, bud. So
okay, but even five.
Okay, but five leaves two more on the table. Like, that's...
I don't want to be paying two old centermen to be on my team. I'll take one. I'll take JT or I'll take Ryan O'Reilly, but I don't want both.
I got you.
So if I'm doing this trade, like, yeah, if you make one of these trades and you bring one of these guys in, would you be willing in the offseason to be like, all right, JT, we got this guy. Sorry, we don't need you anymore.
Like, depending on what happens in the playoffs, I'd be willing to fucking potentially do anything. So yes, we'll see. Like, we'll, if they just go away quietly in the night and like, I ask me again in May, we'll see.
Basically, you're like, if no matter what happens, like, make the deals now to win this year, and then we'll let the dust settle. If you lose in the first round, we'll deal with it then. If we win a few rounds, we'll deal with it then.
Yeah.
That's, that's your kind of mentality, is just,
kick it down the road, man. Try to win in the playoffs right now and just make it fit after, or make the necessary adjustments after it's all the dust has settled or whatever. But like, for me, I think JT's a lifer. I think he's coming back, but it's got to make sense, man. Like, 5 million, whatever. Like, you can't pay him $7 or $8 million.
But at what point, man? Okay. And I know we don't know what's going to happen, and maybe they go on a miraculous run or something happens. I mean, the door's wide open in the Eastern Conference this year. I think outside of Florida, they can beat any team.
Yeah, but Florida's going to be tough.
Yeah, Florida. But if you win the division, you can push that Florida series a little further down the road.
Don't overlook the Caps either, because they're not a joke.
No, I definitely. But I don't think – I don't know. I look at the Capitals, and I'm kind of like, I can't believe – how many wins they have.
I think they're for real. I really do.
It's great. They have Rasmus Sandin on their number one D pair.
Their goaltending's great, and they're good up front. They got a lot of things. It's just clicking.
Well coached. Very well coached.
Just clicking there. But go ahead.
Anyway, my whole thing is, like, are you ready to, no matter what happens, just start to dismantle this team? Like, Mitch is going to want a giant contract. JT's going to want, like, are you kind of, would you go into this trade deadline thinking, hey, let's kind of plan for the future of replacing some of these? Like, maybe we can get a veteran centerman who's won a Stanley Cup and we can let JT walk.
Not the worst idea.
Maybe we can get some pieces that we could flip in the summertime. We could let Marner walk. Like, I know it's crazy, but prepare yourself for a playoff run as well as prepare yourself for the sky's falling and it's time to dismantle.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we'll have to see. Like, I'm not opposed. I wouldn't be opposed to that. Like, I mean, we're going to have to reevaluate things after what happens in the first round. Like, if they look dominant again, if they win the division and they play Ottawa or they play Detroit and they sweep them or beat them, which unlikely nowadays, but you never know, beat them in five, whatever. Maybe Tampa. Yeah. Like,
we said that about Columbus and Montreal.
No, I know, but you never know. Like, with the Stolars and the goaltending, you never know what's going to happen. And then,
that's the
you
biggest
know,
difference.
If Tampa Bay and Florida play each other, like, I mean, I do believe that's a pick 'em. I think yeah. I would pick the Panthers, but would it surprise me if Tampa beat them? No, not at all. So you could be looking.
And that's the best scenario, right? Let Tampa and Florida beat the shit out of each other in the first round.
Sure. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, I would rather take my chances in the second round against the Tampa Bay Lightning. As good as they are, they're not as tough, I don't think. They're not as physical as the Panthers. So I much would rather just, if Florida gets beat out, let's play Tampa Bay, and we're only one series. We've beat them before. We're one series way away from the conference finals. So you never know how it's going to shape up. But yeah, man, I'm reevaluating everything after what happens in the playoffs, including Mitch, JT, everything, yeah. Man. Riley.
Your whole thing is
the whole deal.
Do everything you can to win. Who gives a shit about the offseason? Who gives a shit about the salary cap? We will deal with that later.
Basically, and just to go before we leave here, just to go back to the Braden Schenn thing, like, I think it's just the price tag might be too high. You go after a Ryan O'Reilly, a Luke Schenn, a Scott Laudon, a Rasmus Ristolainen. I think the price tag will be much more.
Like, when did first round picks become so huge?
I know.
Like, yeah, Seth Jones gets a first round pick. Everybody gets a first round pick.
Okay. Like, a first round pick will have to be included for sure. But, like, I'm saying, you might,
do the Leafs have a first round pick?
Not this year, next year, though. So that's fine, though, because that's what they did in that Seth Jones trade. 2026 first round pick. So whatever. All I'm saying is, like, without giving up count, if you make that Nashville trade or you make that Philly trade, you probably don't have to give up Cowan, Minton, Grabankin. I don't think you do. Maybe one of them. I'm not sure. But yeah. I think the package would be a lot lighter than if you're going after Braden Schenn. So I've kind of turned my mind around that, but we'll see.
The idea of Braden Schenn and what he brings, and he's a captain, and him and Berube, but same with Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah.
He played with Berube. Berube loves him. He knows him. It all looks good, but I'm with you, man. You look at that price tag that they want for Braden Schenn, and the fact that they're probably not even going to be sellers at the deadline.
Yeah.
Walk away.
And one last thing I'll say before we go is I do believe they need to, and I want to see them make a big splash, because the way it's currently constructed, like, I'm getting Holmberg's played well. I'm getting a little sick of seeing him up on that second line winger there. And, you know, Robertson and, yeah, Domi had an okay weekend, whatever. But Robertson, some turnovers. Domi, some turnovers. Like, I still don't love that third line the way it's constructed. And then whatever they do with the fourth line, I don't know. So I still think they need to make a splash, and I want to see them make a splash. We'll see what happens. 1 week away. 1 week away. 5 days away. 5 days away. So
it's so crazy. Five days away. And we will we'll definitely be doing a podcast the day of trade deadline. Just to break down anything that the Leafs did, whether they did something big or not.
They play Monday night at home in San Jose. Then they're out west in Vegas, I think, on Wednesday for a late game. Maybe we come back Thursday night and do a podcast, and back to back we do another one Friday for the trade deadline. Unless there's a trade that breaks Tuesday or before
Which
Friday, then we'll come on then and do it. So fluid schedule this week, but we'll be back a couple times for sure. Probably Thursday and Friday, unless Tree breaks a trade early, then we'll be back early.
Yeah. And it's going to be a weird trade deadline. I don't remember the last time there's this many teams in the mix that think that they can make the playoffs. It's going to be weird. Anyway, for the Tip in Maple Leafs podcast, don't forget, if you want to give your thoughts on trade deadline, who you think they should trade for, what they should do. Should they stand pat? I mean, should they do the whole, we got Yarncroc coming back, that's all we need? Should they do things like that? Why don't you leave a comment on the YouTube video, or you can email the tipinpodcast@gmail.com and you can send us a video or an audio file of your thoughts and we'll play it here on the podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit like and subscribe. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Tippin Maple Leafs Podcast. Follow us on TikTok, Tippin Podcast, and on Twitter at Tippin Pod. And until next time, I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
We will.
Let's keep that winning streak going, boys. San Jose and then Vegas this week. Hey, lock up that top seed in the Atlantic. I think it's going to be crucial. 1 week away. Come on, Tree Living. Come on, Tree Living. Don't
stay out of Florida. Stay the hell out of Florida.
Don't let us down, Tree. Make something happen. Make something happen. Anyway, thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. Catch you later. You're listening to the Tippin Maple Leafs Podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dale.